Well, all right. Good morning to you again. This is Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to talk a little bit about the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
And so anyhow, if you open your Bibles to Matthew 28, and we'll get to that just in just a few moments here. We don't make a big fuss over Easter like we do Christmas. And, you know, Christmas, we make a big deal. We go all out, you know, for the birth of our Lord Jesus, and rightly so. Amen. But what about Easter? I thought about that all week long, and it really got to bother me a little bit. Why we don't make such a fuss over the resurrection? After all, that's what separates our God from every other God. We have a living God. Amen. We have a resurrected Lord. We have a God that's conquered death and hell, and he is arisen. And that ought to be a big, victorious Sunday every year. And we ought to make a big deal out of that, but we don't. You know, how many of y'all got an Easter Bunny come see you last night? You can raise your hand. It's okay. I mean, it's all right. I know somebody had an Easter Bunny come see him last night. See there? See, hey, amen. We got one that's honest. If Rusty, if you didn't, you wished he had, all right? You wanted some chocolate, too, I know. And that's all in good fun and everything, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things. But unfortunately, things get out of hand sometimes, and we begin to look at things the wrong way, in the wrong perspective, and we let these things take control of our lives. And that's a little bit of what I want to talk to you about today. What is the resurrection? When we think about what it really is, well, we know that the resurrection is the raising of Christ. We know that. But isn't it also a third of the gospel? When we talk about the gospel, when we share the gospel throughout the year, we're talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen? So it's one third of the gospel. So it's a big deal. If we was to eliminate the resurrection, the rest of the gospel would be worthless to it. It would be no good to us. So it's a very big deal, and it's important that we understand that. But I was watching the news and whatnot throughout the week, and I just see things that's really, 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 really disturbing to me. And right here is where it starts. This is where all this starts at. All right, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his death, he took our sins upon himself. I mean, Think about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. All the anguish and the suffering and the horrible death that he suffered was your sins and my sins put on the sinless man. He died on that cross with our sins on him. And then when he was buried, what did he do? What did he do in his burial? He carried our sins away as far as the east is from the west. He got rid of our sins. That he died and paid the ultimate price for our sin.
Right.
And then in the resurrection, he brought eternal life to you and I.
Amen.
He bought back that which was taken from us in the garden. Hey, man, we got a good God.
Amen.
You know, when Adam sinned against us in the garden, that when that sin went against God, that sin fell on you and I. And God sent Jesus as a way for us to be redeemed back to him. So that's a big deal. It's something that we should all be very proud of. But what's disturbing to me is how many people, especially Christians, that don't really fully understand the resurrection. They really don't understand what Easter is. And that was disturbing when I seen that. When I seen that on the news, It was very disturbing to me. Every Christian should know what the resurrection is. Every Christian should know what the gospel is. Every Christian should know what the word gospel means. If you don't know, look it up. Amen? Every Christian should know this. It's disturbing when we look in amongst our church, not necessarily our church per se, but in the church in general. And we see all the misconceptions about Easter. One of those things is Good Friday. We'll talk about that a little bit here in just a little bit. I'm going to try to stay on task here so I don't get way off where I'm not supposed to be. But all the things I've heard about the resurrection over the news and in the papers, you look up on Facebook, you'll see all kinds of stuff. And a lot of stuff is good. And a lot of it's just so unreal. It's just not true. It's simply not true. But yet, there's so many Christians that don't know the difference. That's what disturbs me, is that Christians don't know the difference. We're allowing the world to dictate to us what Easter is. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, I honestly believe that we're ashamed or afraid to celebrate Easter because of what we think that the world might think what we're celebrating. I don't know about you, but I'm not celebrating Easter Bunny, amen? I mean, I'm not trying to steal the chocolate from a child, okay? But I've never figured out what an Easter Bunny has to do with Easter. I've never figured that out. You know, the Peter Cottontail, right? And then they give out chocolate Easter egg, bunny eggs, right? Bunnies don't lay eggs.
Amen.
You ever thought about that? You think, yeah, well, we got a bunny, and we got a bunny egg. There's no such thing as a bunny egg. There's no such thing as an Easter bunny. But they always do manage to, at least somewhere in the line there, they'll have a cross, okay? They'll get a cross in there. So you can get a little chocolate cross to go along with your chocolate Easter eggs and your chocolate bunny and your jelly beans and whatnot. But none of that has anything to do with Easter except for the cross. Now, have you ever asked yourself why, out of all this other nonsense, there's a cross in the middle of that? That's to pacify you. You know that, don't you? That's to pacify you, the believer. See, they already know that you don't believe in the Easter Bunny. They know that you don't believe in chocolate eggs. But the devil wants your children to believe that. See, we don't ever look at the entire picture in its entirety. And then we separate things for what they really are. But the devil knows the difference. The devil knows, and the devil wants your child to know. And this is what you'll do. Now listen to me, folks. This is very, very important. God laid this on my heart, and it really, really just ripped my heart out when I realized what's happening. The Easter Bunny is all in good fun. We know that. I mean, none of y'all ever gave your child a chocolate Easter Bunny for Easter, right? No, I know you didn't. And you never dyed any eggs or done Easter egg hunts or anything like that, right? I know we didn't. We're all too spiritual for that, right? My wife still gets Easter Bunny basket, okay? So, I mean, we do all these things without realizing the repercussions from them. See, the devil knows what's going on. And he wants your children. And he wants your grandchildren. And he's using Easter as a way to get it. And I'm going to show you that in just a few moments. I'm going to show you that. But I was reading something, and this was extremely disturbing. I was reading a thing. This was on Facebook. You do know what Facebook is, right? Okay, I borrowed it, but I was reading it on Facebook. They were claiming that 30%, in some places upward of 60%, of Christians do not believe in the resurrection, or do not believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. Okay?
Amen.
That's right. Now, that's simply disturbing, because these numbers come from a church. In other words, they would survey people as they left church. And I don't know, but you can sleep in your garage tonight, and that doesn't make you a car.
Amen.
Okay? So coming to church today does not make you a Christian.
That's right.
Now, if you're here today and you're not a born-again believer, I hope that you leave here one.
Amen.
However, just being here is not going to make you a Christian.
That's right.
But this is the way the world perceives Christians. So now if we were to actually take a survey, and we got a true survey, what should the numbers be on how many people, Christians, believe in the resurrection?
100.
Amen. Praise God. Because if you don't believe in the resurrection, then you're not a Christian. And I don't care what church you go to. Okay? I'm going to get off track here. So anyhow, these numbers simply are not true. See, I want to jump straight to the main thing I want to get to, but I got too much time to use up yet. So these numbers simply are not true. So, but it's still disturbing that they put this on the news, and I have not heard one pastor. Of course, our pastor is not on Facebook. Probably a good thing, amen? But you don't hear anybody refuting that. You don't hear anybody standing up and hollering and screaming against that. Every church in America should have been hollering, no, 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 no. I don't think so. Because if you're not a believer, you're not a Christian, period. But it disturbs me because we're not hearing that. Anyhow, folks, it's our responsibility. Okay, Easter, it's our responsibility. It's the responsibility of the believer to get the good news out. The world doesn't understand what a Christian is. See, you and I, as believers, we know what a Christian is. But the world perceives a Christian to be something different. So, you know, everything's so messed up, but we're not taking a stand in the battle. We're letting it go. Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world." And in Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which are in heaven." So it's up to us to do that. And this is Resurrection Sunday. If there's any day for the world to see God's light in you, it should be today. Amen? We don't have to sneak into church. Now, I don't know about you, but where I grew up when I was a little boy, churches were packed. You couldn't get into church. You had to get there early to get a seat. They'd stand around by the walls. You remember those days? This is Easter Sunday. Look around. Where are they at today? They're at the lake. They're at the ball field. You know, they're fishing, swimming, playing golf. They're in Orlando at SeaWorld, or they're at Disney World. They're doing the important things in life, right? This is where they ought to be. Why are they not here? And everything I want to talk about today is pointing up to why they are not here. For the what's the Bible tell us? What does God warn us in Ephesians? If we go to Ephesians 6:12, I'm going to read it to you. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This battle goes on every day, including Easter. It's raging this morning as all these little kids around the globe are collecting Easter baskets on our Lord's Resurrection Day. You think the devil's not sitting back just laughing himself silly right now? Because he is. Because Christians aren't in God's house this morning where they ought to be. They're out enjoying the lake, or they're enjoying Disney World, or they're enjoying the things of the world. See, folks, we allow ourselves to forget that we are in this spiritual battle every day of our lives. We think that we're in a battle when we're in the valley. Okay, we are. But you're still in the battle when you're on a hill, amen? That battle rages on every single day. It's a warfare between God and Satan. And we're in the middle of that. And what we do every day of our life is going to determine how many souls are going to be saved in the future. When we talk about the Easter baskets, it's just all good fun. Let me give you a little example. We was talking about the Easter Bunny. We was talking about the bunny eggs. And then we were talking about maybe they had a cross, chocolate cross mixed up in there. Okay, think about this. We have a bunny rabbit, which we know there's no green and purple and pink bunny rabbits, right? And they don't lay eggs, chocolate or any other kind, right? So that's fiction. It's untrue. Then we put a cross in with that. What are we telling the child? Think about that. What do we just tell the child? We just put the cross in with the rest of the fiction. You see what I'm saying now? You see where I'm going with that? We just put the cross in with the rest of the fiction. And then if we go back to Christmas, we have Santa Claus. Now, as they grow older, they'll find out that Santa Claus is not a reality. Okay? So that's fiction. So now we've got the cross in and Christmas in with all the rest of the fiction. And then we can't figure out why our children grow up not knowing what Resurrection Sunday is. Because to them it's fake. Have you heard that anywhere before? Fake. Maybe some fake news, right? Well, it becomes a reality to people. And that's what we're doing when we celebrate Easter morning. It's okay to have fun with anything. But everything has to be in a proper perspective. If not, we're allowing the world to dictate what our Easter is. And look at what it's become because of its fiction. And we'll say, yes, but I teach my child that it's about Jesus. Yeah, we sure do. We also teach them not to drink. We also teach them not to smoke. We also teach them not to curse, right? We teach them that marriage is forever. We teach them a lot of these things. But where are they at? See, we're playing monkey see, monkey do type thing, aren't we? We're trying to say, don't do as I do what I say do. But the whole time we're teaching our children things that are fake. And then when they get to be adults, we expect them to take everything for truth. No, that mindset is already trained to believe that which is false. So today, when we see all the things that's going on with our children, how did it get there? It's our fault. You know, we like to put the blame somewhere else. We go back to the garden when Adam told God it was the woman that you gave this to me. We're still playing the blame game. We want to blame everything on the world. That's easy to do. Hey, it's the world. No, it's the church. It's the church, people. We're not standing up for the things that are right. Preacher was just talking the other day about contending for the faith. Well, that's okay as long as somebody else is doing it. But when it comes home, we don't want to do that. Because it's hard for us to contend for the faith. We have to face the facts. We've gotten lazy. We've become spoiled. We want everything the way we want it, when we want it, and how we want it. Rather than looking at the entire picture and looking at the suffering that we're causing for souls down the road. All these things that we allow into our lives. And it's always the little things. Your television. Have you paid attention to the cartoons that's on your television? There should never be a cartoon on your child's TV. They're absolutely horrible. I was flipping through there one day, and we don't have cable or anything like that. I can't afford that. We have those antennas, you know, you get 20 channels and on a good day, and three of those will work. So, but I was flipping through the three that we do have, and there was a cartoon on there. In my soul, I've never seen anything like it. I'm like, what in the world? And our children are watching this? I'm like, you got to be kidding. It's pathetic. But you take all this stuff, and you got to remember, folks, your brain is just like a computer. It absorbs whatever is put into it. So what are we putting into our children's head every day? Most of our kids go to a public school, and they're being fed public knowledge, right? They're not being fed godly knowledge. So we're pumping all these things into our children's minds, which is a computer. And what does a computer know? Whatever you put into it, right? That's all it knows. It knows what you put into it. So we're feeding all this garbage into our children's minds, and then we're expecting some big miracle to change all of that, and it come out good later on. And a lot of Christians, you know, I ask myself, how do Christians get this situation? Because they're not understanding the things of God. They're not understanding what God is trying to tell us. And through the scriptures, we don't read them, we don't study them, we don't keep them in our hearts. Just things, and we just don't do that which we're supposed to. We're not contending for the faith. We're not doing that as Christians that we ought to be doing. With that being said, look at Matthew. Verse 1, chapter 28. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw towards the first day of the week. What is the first day of the week? Sunday, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. If Sunday is the first day of the week, and Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, how long would he have been in the grave? Wouldn't have been 3 days, would it? He would come up just a little bit short. So what is that? Fake news. Right, now there's going to be a lot of people out here in the world who are going to be mad at me today because Good Friday. Friday is good, amen. Most of us get paid on Friday. Good Friday is every Friday, right? But unfortunately, it's not the day of crucifixion. If we go according to Scripture, you say, how do you know? Well, if you go back to Genesis, what does Genesis teach us? The evening and the morning were the first day, right? So the Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. It starts in the evening. So if we was to put Jesus in the grave Friday before evening, and you count the time, he hasn't been in the grave 3 days. So he comes up short. And I believe, let me see. I got a verse right here. Matthew 12:40 says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So in order to do that, we have to back up to Wednesday. So the Lord would have been crucified on Wednesday. Now see, the world don't want to hear that. But that's what the Bible's showing us. If the Bible, if this verse is true, and Mary and him was going towards him. Listen, let me finish this verse. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Let me back up. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lie. So he was resurrected before that time. So he was resurrected on that Saturday, that seventh, on the Jewish Sabbath. And some people say, well, the first day of the week. Well, what does our calendar start the first day of the week on? Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. So if Jesus was crucified on Friday, he would not have been in the grave for the amount of time that people, what the Bible tells us, he was in the grave, right, man? So we know that that's not true. That's more fake news. We hear a lot about fake news in the news today. Trump talks a lot about fake news, right? You know, it's been proven, and as a matter of fact, I spoke to a woman earlier this week, and she was telling me about some of the fake news. But this is what happens. You can report something that's fake. It's a lie. They know it's a lie, and they'll report it anyways. And they'll continue to say it and continue to say it and continue to say it. And then it'll come out that it was a lie. We've proven that it was a lie. But how many people still believe it? See, some people's going to believe it no matter what. And see, and that's how the devil works. That's how the devil works. So if that's true, what about Easter? Is it any different? See, when you give false things about Easter, we have Easter bunnies. We have chocolate Easter eggs that come from red, green bunnies. So, you know, we're teaching our children something that's not true. So the child grows up and finds out all this to be fake. So what does he think about the chocolate cross that was in the same basket? To them, it becomes fake. Fake news. And then that's why our churches are so disturbed today. Because they've taken in so much fake news that they don't know what reality is. And it's sad. It saddens my heart, especially when it comes to us as believers. We should be taking a stand. We should be hollering against it. You know, when you see this kind of garbage on Facebook, you ought to be posting something back. Post back the reality, the truth. Everything in fake news, folks, let me tell you something. The devil is after your children every day. And he'll get them any way he can. He'll get them through the news. He'll get them through you. He'll get them through your family. He'll get them through the school. He'll get them any way he can get them. He wants those souls to go to hell. So it's you and I. It's up to us to make sure that we don't allow the world to dictate to us what Easter is. It's important that we dictate to the world what Easter is. Now, let me give you an example. This is what happens to our brains. I was watching a DVD. It was, let me see if I can think of the name of it. I might be able to think of the name of it. I'm going to try to. The Search for the Truth. It was a program put out. And it was a really, really, really good program. But the man took... It looks like a pair of goggles that you would put on your head. And the lenses in those goggles were fixed to where that when you put them on your head, it turned everything upside down. And what they did, they put these on a certain amount of people, and they have to wear these goggles 24/7, leave them on, and it was to see what happens. So basically, they're putting fake news right here, okay? When they're looking out, everything's upside down. Well, it's not really upside down, but it is to them because the goggles make it upside down. Well, they wore them for like two or three weeks. And then they'd wake up one morning and everything would be upright. They're like, hey, man, everything, I get around good again instead of walking on, you know, can you imagine walking upside down all the time? You think you're walking on the ceiling? So anyhow, everything flipped around and everything was back to normal. But when they took the goggles off, everything was upside down. So now they're without the goggles, everything is upside down. So what did they just do? They just proved that the brain will believe that which is not true if it's trained to long enough. So with that being said, what are we doing with Easter baskets? See, we don't want to look at this reality. We don't really want to think that way. We don't want to look at something that's so innocent and make something so wicked out of it. But that's the reality of it. The devil is so subtle. He takes all these little things and he uses them to steal our children. I mean, folks, just look around us. Look around the world today. How are all these kids growing up to be the way they are? Because little by little by little, we've allowed the devil in our house. We've allowed little things to change the way we think, the way we perceive things. And if you don't think that's true, then if I sat here and started making a list of things that would be spiritually correct, for example, women shouldn't wear makeup. Or maybe ladies should wear skirts and dresses and not pants, right? Or how about men shouldn't wear earrings? Or how about men ought to have short hair? I mean, we can just go on and on and on and on down a list. How about maybe we shouldn't be at Disney World, or maybe we shouldn't be over, but why? Everybody in their mind saying, well, preacher, you ain't got no, you don't have anything about that. Maybe we shouldn't smoke. Maybe we shouldn't drink. See, all these things that are doctrinally correct, we can find a way to excuse it. How about the TV programs we watch? See, we can find a way to excuse all of those things. But what does God say about it? What does God say about it? How about all the young ladies that are allowing themselves to be taken by young men and they're not married? See, all of these things. Well, that's not in the Bible. Smoking's not in the Bible. Preacher, I've never seen anything about smoking in the Bible. The Bible said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I think that would cover it, wouldn't you? You think that would cover that? See, it's all in our perspective. It's all in how we want to see truth. You can accept truth for what God has given it to be. Or we can accept the fake news. Because that's the battle you're in every day of your life. And with it being Resurrection Sunday, it is the one day that we ought to be on our face before God at the altar and asking God to forgive us for our wicked ways. Folks, every one of us are guilty of these things. You know we are. Every one of us are. And it saddened my heart when I realized how subtle the Satan just gets right into our households. So subtle. And you know, if you notice the Christians who are truly, truly trying to raise their children in the proper manner, even other Christians attack them. That's the truth. Oh, that's silly. You don't have to do like that. It's all the time. Satan never gives up. He's relentless. He never gives up. And it just seems like we give up so easily. Resurrection Sunday should be the biggest day of the year. It's the day that the Lord Jesus conquered, come out of the grave, conquering death and hell, and brought to us salvation with it. Amen. And every one of us as Christians ought to know that, and we ought to be proud of that. We ought to be happy to share that gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. And that should be much more than the Easter Bunny. But we have allowed ourselves to be quiet because of what we think the world's going to perceive, how they're going to perceive us. Folks, I really don't care how they perceive me. I'm going to stand with my Lord. And I'm going to do my, and trust me, I'm just like you. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I'm going to do everything I can to do that which is right unto the Lord. And that's a battle. That is a battle in itself every day. We need to carry that with us. We need to carry the thought with us that every day is a spiritual warfare. And we need to put on the armor of God and get into battle and do our part as Christians. Amen. I think we owe the Lord that much, right? All right, our time's up this morning. Let's see what the head count is this morning. 712. I have to say that's a little discouraging. All right, well, we'll take a few minute break and we'll let the choir come in and we'll start church services.